She brings wealth and health to her audience by tackling hot topics around substance use disorder, mental health, and wellness. Her mission, vision, and goal are to help you heal from your past trauma, inspire you to transform your body, mind, and soul so you can live your best life. Your board-certified psychiatric mental health doctor, nurse practitioner, trauma care maestro, and media analyst, your life ambassador, best-selling author, TEDx talk speaker, CEO of Pool of Bethesda Psychiatric Health in Arizona. Let's all welcome Dr. Princess Fumi Hancock.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. For those of you who do not know me yet, my name is Dr. Princess Fumi Hancock. I'm an African princess, a Nigerian princess that's living in diaspora. Thank you so much for joining me. Some people call me your compassionate trauma care maestro. Others know me as a board-certified psychiatric doctor of nurse practice practicing out in Arizona. So thank you so much for joining me. This morning I woke up, I was in the shower, and there was a phrase that came to me. There was a book that I read when I was in perhaps maybe high school or grade school, and it talked about A Tale of Two Cities. Can I say that again? A Tale of Two Cities. And I began to think about that phrase, and what came to me was A Tale of Two Countries, right? A Tale of Two Countries. On one of my trip, an international flight, boarding out from the U.S. and going outside of the country, I overheard two people, a young lady and, of course, an older guy, that they were talking about, each person was talking about their own country. The woman happened to come from country A. I'm just going to say country A. And the man comes from country B. And they began to share differences, you know, and talk about all the things that the country, their country is actually experiencing right now. They started off by talking about politics, and then they went into leadership and went into all sorts of discussions, which was quite interesting to me as I listened. So you have the young lady who happens to come from a well-developed country, talked about how, COVID-2020, how it had really ravaged not just the country alone, but how it had ravaged her own family. She talked about how many of her family members had passed, about maybe eight of them, and that kind of, I felt that kind of gasp when she said that, and she said, you know, and they could, half of them should not have died, but because they listened to the wrong people, they had a point to prove, so they stayed and they died, and they did not get the vaccine. So she went from there, and then she started talking about things that were wrong in the country. Oh, everything is just terrible. She was talking about how, the baby formula issue. And then every time, what I noticed was that every time she would bring something up, the other guy who happens to come from a developing country would say, yes, but, all right, was that fixed? She said, oh, yeah, sure, it was fixed. She said, but then again, we had the oil thing where prices of gas was just out of the roof, I mean, just off the roof or whatever. And the older guy was like, oh, okay, but was that fixed? And she said, oh, yeah, sure, that the current administration did everything that they needed to do to make sure that that was fixed. Then she turned around. It was quite interesting. Then she turned around and she said, oh, yeah, and our children are not safe. Now our children want to be exposed to this. And then the young man said, but why, they were exposed to it before. She said, oh, well, nothing has really changed in the educational system. And the older guy was like, okay, I'm trying to follow you. Nothing has changed. So what has changed? The only thing that I hear that has changed is the fact that you all are trying to to unravel things. You are trying to put things, even so those things that doesn't mean much, you are creating, you're stoking and creating more problems for yourselves in that country. Here's the deal. So the guy turns around, it was his turn to start talking about his own country. And then he talked about how, oh my God, it's a developing country. All their politicians are corrupt. None of them is actually, you know, doing the right thing. When they got out there, the first thing that they siphon is the country's money, how people are really suffering, and all. I mean, just went on and on and on. So the woman turned it, the younger lady turned it on him now and said, oh, well. So he said, well, we have a new person now that we're all hoping that everything will work out well. But, you know, we've been there before and we're just not sure. So he turns around and says, oh, but, well, guess what? The first thing that he did, well, he pulled off the oil subsidy. And boy, everybody in the country was all over themselves. The gas stations were hoarding oil, all kind of things. So the young lady said, do you understand what oil subsidy is? So he said, well, yeah, sort of. And I said, well, she said, well, why are they freaking out over that? That would actually help them. That do they understand that, yes, there might be a little bit pain initially, but that would actually help them because... So she went on to explain that because without the subsidy, the president of that country will now have the right to be able to set a price for that oil so that people will no longer be suffering the way they were suffering with the oil subsidy, where the gas stations today, they'll go there and it's this amount of money, and tomorrow they go there and something else. So he scratching his head like, you never thought about it that way. He said, but the country does not know that. A lot of the country, that the way that they have it set up is that they just feel like, oh, this is a new person, and the first thing that he did was take oil away from them. And then they turned around again and they said, oh, wait, I don't know how much you're reading on the internet. That he said, well, that he came up with something again, and he signed an act or bill or something like that, where he's now giving students interest-free loan to be able to go to tertiary institutions, which is, you know, higher institution. And then he said, but I don't know what he meant, because when he was talking, he said about deserving. What did he mean by deserving? So the woman is like, well, that's just a speech. What does it matter? What it matters is that that bill was signed, and that now you have people who are not, you know, who are very smart and didn't have the privilege to be able to go to college. Now they'll be able to go. But this older man was stuck on that word. Deserving. He said, well, I need to know see the bill, because they need to be transparent. Well, so I'm sitting there at the back and just listening to everything. And here is my life lesson from just their discussion. I didn't join the discussion, but it kind of opened my eyes to tale of two countries. Everyone is complaining about one thing or the other because their own person is not in the seat. But as soon as that person is on the seat, oh, everything is dandy. But here's the thing. If we take our time to destroy things and destroy our own country and destroy everything, the same thing that we're trying to say we want to save, because somebody else is sitting on the seat and we're destroying it, do you actually think you'll be able to pull things back when you become the person that is leading that country? We have to be very careful what we do. You cannot destroy something because you want to be the leader. You cannot destroy a country. You cannot destroy, I tell you, the whole world is, you know, nothing in life is perfect. No leader is perfect. But you cannot spend your life, your lifetime, the opportunities that you're being given to actually be part of the leadership in a country, squandering it and trying to make the other person look incredibly crazy. So that when it's your turn to now be the one to lead, now you want to pull back and now you want to fix what you started in the first place. And so I said to myself, less complaint, more gratitude, more love for each other will actually take us a long way. That is my life lesson in that. I hope somebody is going to listen to this. I hope you're not going to come down my whatever and make, you know, petty conversations about what I said, but to really sit down and think about what I said. There's too much bitterness, there's too much anger, there's too much people that think that it's so sad that even the truth is now staring us in the face, and we are pretending that the truth is no longer the truth. Lies have become truth, truth have become lies. Everything is distorted these days. That if you do not know who you are, if you don't close your ears and really use your eyes, because people are actually now telling you, whatever your eyes see, don't believe it. If you see this to this person, then that person, we have to figure out a way of that person getting away with it. But if an ordinary person goes through the same thing on the street, yeah, jail them. It is time for those who truly say they care and they love their country. If it is true that you love your country and you're not seeking power, that it's not all about power, then we have to know when to say the truth to our people. We have to stop joining the group of people that are spewing and spouting out misinformation, disinformation about our country. Because frankly, we are the ones that are making ourselves look foolish. We are the ones that are making ourselves look stupid. It's not the leadership, it's not the political party. It is we the people who have chosen to put in place those who we know will not serve us well. So, my life lesson in this again, less complaint, more gratitude, more tender loving care to each other, listening to one another, telling the truth when it counts, in spite of whatever it may be. Telling the truth. I'm making that conscious choice to not be part of the people who is going to disseminate lies. Until next time, be inspired, be motivated, be of sentimental value. Understand that you, my friend, you are the hero in your life story. Do not allow anybody to rewrite your story, because frankly, too many people rewriting too many stories out there, even when we see it in our own eyes. Until next time, please do subscribe to my YouTube at The Princess of Suburbia. You can find me at International Diaspora Network. If you are listening on a podcast, it's Tear the Veil with Dr. Fumi, F-U-M-I. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Tear the Veil with Dr. Fumi. We hope you have enjoyed being a part of today's show and that we have helped you in shining. For further information, you can visit us at drfumipsychdnp.com and pobpsychiatry.com.